C-Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, Corey Majors. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program, 877-881-1053. How are you guys doing? How is everybody out there in Radio Land? 877-881-1053. Franklin, Injury Attorney, text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube.
The 817, I think KNC should move their time slot to the night. These guys seem like good dudes, but this time needs some seriousness. Oh. Please don't leave them with us.
Man, we've been in the time slot for like 6 years, six and a half years.
We were the highest rated show in this time. I don't think a station would do that, but I appreciate it, though. Nice try.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate your
thoughts. So does that mean you're not doing well?
I'm doing great.
Okay.
Just, you know, a lot of people think that this thing like is just, you just go in and you talk to your best friend all day. How easy is your job? And then you got to deal with stuff like that, dude. Yeah.
Comes with the territory, my friend.
You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't bother me as much. Just because that's the nature of this job, right? People have the right to their opinion. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it.
Just because your opinion's wrong doesn't mean you should express it.
There are definitely times when I agree.
I will say this. There's too many more positives that come from all the people that like the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And the amount of people that like this show is insanely, it's an insanely popular show. Sometimes I have no clue why. I'm like, hold on. It's just us being us.
Right.
Like, it's literally us three have these conversations. We would have these conversations probably with a little more spice as far as the cuss words go. But we would have these conversations off air.
Sure.
I think we do this a lot of times where we just take this whatever we're talking about directly onto radio. That's one of my favorite things about it is that there are people out there that are just like us. And,
right.
And so thank you again to the Tolos for just absolutely crushing it. So here's what we need from you. We need for you to tell a friend today. Tell a friend about the KNC masterpiece. And then also tell a friend to tell the Joneses to go get Max Crosby. We'll see which one happens first.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, he did post a meme of The Undertaker coming out of a flaming coffin saying that I'm back. So, I don't know.
You guys love Undertaker,
don't
you?
I do. And it kind of feels like he's locked in, but we'll see how that goes.
Alec, I think this is a huge compliment from one Peyton Philip Russell, who I think really loves you the most. He texted he texted me personally and said, I like your show.
Oh,
so
that's
cool?
Nice.
Isn't that cool? We have somebody in the building that likes the show.
That's true. I mean, I've been very clear. I don't care for this show.
You've said that since day one. Like,
true.
The first time
I kind of get that
show,
person's text.
The first day, it was a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
The day that the Mavericks eliminated the Lakers and Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum stuck J.J. Barea with an elbow. And it was that morning.
Yeah.
That was the first show ever. And you came on, I came on air, I introduced us, and you looked at me and said, why did you do that stupid voice? And then said, I don't care for this show.
Alec, I wish you could find that, because it was like, welcome in to the KNC Masterpiece. This is Corith Majors III.
I didn't say Corith.
Oh, okay. But it felt fancy like that.
I didn't feel like I had an Alfred come serve me with shiny chrome dishes and stuff like that. Yeah.
I just stared at him. And then we went to break, and he's like, what? And I go, what was that voice?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's my radio voice.
Somebody said, what if I've already told all my friends about this show?
Make new friends.
Got to make some new friends now. This is part of growing as a, you know, as a human and growing as a show.
Mm. Grow the show. You better talk to Ben and Skin. Trademark violation.
Chris Arnold just texted.
I like him.
He said, I like your show.
Hell yeah.
So if you have CA's
He's
backing,
in every Hall of Fame that's ever been made.
If we have
that's
CA's right. backing, I think we're going to be okay. I appreciate it, guys. Thank y'all so much, Tolos, because right now y'all texting in, making my day. Y'all are the best.
In the meantime, if you can give me cut number two, let's talk about OSA.
They'll fourth and one at their own 15. Out of the I formation. And Smith is going to throw on fourth and one. Pressured again. Down he goes, Odighizuwa. At the five. And the Cowboys take over at the five with 2.5 minutes left.
Just got a text that said Ed Werder likes our show, too. I don't know if I think that is accurate.
What does that make you?
oh, man.
Man, can we play that drop again?
Nope.
All right.
I think
all right.
The boss won't let
all
us.
All right. So, for Osa.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting. We talked about this exact scenario yesterday monetarily.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I did not know this is what it was going to be. And there's a couple of different things. What I want to know just to start, really basic, really simplistic. Do you like this deal? Because the Cowboys are trading Osa to the 49ers for a third round pick. And it's a third round pick in this year's draft. I thought for sure I didn't think we would get a third round pick. And if we did get a third-round pick, I thought it would probably be a 2027. And remember, just kind of draft value logic. If it's next year, drop the actual value around.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if it would have been a third-rounder next year, really would have been about the equivalent of a fourth-rounder. That just seems to be how draft pick logic works in the NFL. But I have seen a lot of pushback on social media that people are upset and thought we were going to get more for Osa.
More. Really?
Yeah, which I don't see.
I didn't think you'd get a fourth yesterday.
Let alone a third.
Yeah, yesterday when we were discussing this, I was like, I'll be happy if I get a fifth. I really didn't want to trade him for a fifth.
Yeah.
But I'd be happy if that was the price because I didn't think you could get a fourth for him. Now, that being said, I see San Francisco is probably is. I see some of the changes they've made. I see what they want up front. And Kevin, when you ask me about my scouting report on Osa Odighizuwa, it is always the same. That dude plays hard
for sure.
And in San Francisco, with that electromagnetic field out there, they're always right. looking for dudes that mm-hmm. are playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
And because seriously, that is their style. Play hard. Now, Kevin, he might go have a successful time in San Francisco because of the style of play that they have. That might be something there. And the fact that across that defensive line, they just keep bringing dudes in. That's constant right there. But I just... What the Cowboys are trying to do right now is they're trying to get bigger and beefier at those positions. And honestly, there was kind of he's kind of left out and kind of out of position in this Cowboys
yes.
current defense. So it made a lot of sense to, you know, acknowledge it and move on. You said we're saving about $4 million.
Yeah. And so that's another thing.
To get a third, though, oh, I'm sorry. But, and we'll get to the number there. But to get a third is spectacular.
Yeah.
And if you wanted more than that, if you expected more than that, you probably were overvaluing your own guy.
See, and that's kind of what I think. But also, you have to remember, this is the time of year where draft picks are far and away the most valuable, right? Like, you've seen that.
But what's going to be more valuable in September and October?
Yeah, the player.
The player, for sure. But for your team. It depends on what the Cowboys do with that three.
Yeah.
Now, that could be the big difference, is Kevin, because if you pair that with something else, can you get a second round if you need to?
Yeah.
You
can.
If you're sitting there and you're like, we passed on Jacob Rodriguez, and we really want Jacob Rodriguez in the second round instead of 20, like Woolchuck and Brad Sham. Like, if you really want him in the second round, you actually have the capital to do that. Whereas before this whole thing started, Kevin, the Cowboys actually have some capital to work with to make some things happen up in the second round that they didn't have before.
Yeah.
And so this is actually turning into a pretty decent, you nail this fifth round, dude, you could be a championship team if you nail the fifth round.
Yeah, that is for sure.
Always a big if.
So it is really interesting to see how different people feel about this move. From the 903, people are crazy. You're lucky to get a third. From the 940, end of the third round, but it's not a good or a bad move. You moved Osa because he didn't fit, but I'm mad he went to a conference rival. So the end of the
I agree.
The end of the third round issue. So, I mean, the third round goes to pick 100. So I get that you're far closer to the end than the beginning of the round, but it's not pick 99 or 100. Like, you are several picks up from the bottom of the third round. The other thing is, you weren't going to pick until 112. I just accelerated. Well, not me. I didn't do anything. But the Cowboys just accelerated their ability to pick somebody by 20 picks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that. Now, for the money thing, I think Tom Pelissero kind of, like, threw some people's notions of what this was going to do for you monetarily off, because Tom Pelissero was like, oh, you clear $16 million in money off that. No, wrong. As we went over yesterday, the Dallas Cowboys will take a $16 million dead cap hit on this, which is brutal. Like, you never want to see that. What is going to happen, though, is OSA was set to count $20.75 million on your cap. All right? So that means a cap savings of $4.75 million. Just for brevity's sake, let's just say about $5 million, all right? Just to streamline the process. So you moved out a player who is, I think he is a solid player. Now, there are some numbers out there that people are using to try to make it seem like he's a spectacular player. I would argue if you watch the games, very rarely did it feel like OSA was a spectacular player. It always felt like he's a good player.
I love having him on my team is
sure,
what I always thought.
Sure.
And if I had a team full of guys that played like that.
And everybody seems to think, like, as great of a or as good of a football player he is, he's an even better player.
That was one of my favorite lines from Jesse Holly when he was like, Jason Garrett said, if I had a team full of guys that played like you, and you were like, I was like, but I'm here.
Yeah.
So, like,
we can't take
appreciate
one.
It.
It's one is. One's too many and also not enough. It is confusing. So you move off of a good player, and for that, you get a third-round pick and about $5 million in salary cap relief. That's honestly what it boils down to. And then they made the move for Solomon Thomas, which I thought was more of a salary dump. You clear off about $2 million, take a little bit. I think it's like a $750,000 dead cap hit on that to move up in the seventh round, seven slots. I thought that was more of a salary dump. If you want to argue that you thought OSA was a salary dump, I would kind of listen to that, because it does, you take the $16 million dead hit and then nothing. So going forward, you're not on the hook for any more money, which I think is a positive thing when it comes to this move. But then,
My question to you is that money already accounted for?
I don't think so.
You don't think that's part of the George Pickens cash?
No, just because, look, and this is what I was always worried about. I mean, and maybe that is the way they view it, but I don't think it's already accounted for, because they didn't flip the switch on his contract, right? We talk about this all the time. Teams across the NFL all do this. The Cowboys do this. Is you have mechanisms about converting money over back into a signing bonus, and then you can cut the cap number and kick a little bit down the road. But the Cowboys hadn't done that yet. So theoretically, I don't necessarily think that money has to already be accounted for.
Because that's how my wife works. If any extra surplus money comes into our household, Kevin, she's already figured out what it's going to be spent on. Like that's like this Italy trip. You think that was an Italy trip that I had planned for in my life?
Right.
She did.
Right.
So she's like, oh, we got this amount? Nice. I can finally do this. So that's what I feel like. But I'm glad to hear that the Cowboys accountants don't think that way.
Yes, that is not the sense that I get
okay, good.
But then the question came up. I think it was Joseph Hoyt, who I really like his stuff. This fascinated me.
Thank you.
Is Joseph Hoyt pointed out that the Cowboys have seven players remaining from their 2019 to 2023 drafts, which would lead you to believe, especially for a team that feels like they say their entire identity is draft and develop, right? That feels really bad. So I decided to just take a little bit of a closer look at that. Go ahead. I think the starting point is a little, it's not my favorite starting point, because particularly they picked a starting point that was always going to be bad, because in 2019, that's when the Cowboys didn't pick until the end of the second round.
Okay.
They did not have a first round pick that year.
Tristan Hill?
That is the Tristan Hill year. So you can make those arguments that that is bad, but I feel like you got a ton of usage out of Tony Pollard and Donovan Wilson until they weren't going to be particularly useful for you anymore. 2020, you still have CeeDee Lamb on the list. And for a long time, felt like we hit with Trayvon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, felt like you hit with Tyler Biadasz. But I realize they're not there anymore. 2021, because that seems to be the one that's frustrating people. you now have no more players left from the 2021 draft.
Bad draft.
Interesting. Maybe.
Question mark.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Or would you argue you could have foreseen it, maybe you could not have, that somebody was going to be implicated in a murder and then eventually turn state's evidence
Kelvin
and all
Joseph,
of that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is you didn't lose Micah and Osa. You traded them for 2 1s and a 3.
Yeah, and Nashawn Wright didn't work out.
Wish he would have
you
here.
You thought Bland and Diggs were going to be your cornerback duo of the future. Nashawn Wright didn't fit into the mix. He just couldn't get the playing time. You miss on a couple of fourth-rounders, and you miss on fifth, sixth, until Mukwamu.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a place here either. So that actually was a decent draft in a couple different areas there. Kevin, when I say that you built your team for a defensive coordinator in that time period, and now you've switched defensive coordinators a couple times, and
that
now you're
makes it complicated.
Now you're building for a completely new defensive scheme because this wasn't going to be what Zimmer's scheme was. The personnel didn't fit that. Now you're building for a completely new defensive coordinator who insists, if y'all want to be successful, we're going to have to shed some of these things because they don't fit what I need.
For sure.
And we're going to have to add this. So I'm okay with that because, Kevin, I don't know that the shelf life of these players on your team is 10 years anymore.
Yes. And that is an interesting point. At a time when we've talked about like the perils of drafting a quarterback number one overall, because you look at how that's gone like the last 15 years, there's been definitely some highs, but definitely some lows. And so I just hated the idea specifically of 2021 trying to be used as an example that the Cowboys don't draft well. Osa would still be here if you had the same defensive coordinator, but you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then Micah would still be here if the Cowboys were better at negotiations, but they aren't. And so I do agree that they have some draft issues. I definitely agree with that. But then if you just keep moving forward, you look at 2022 and it's Tyler Smith, Sam Williams, Jake Ferguson, Deron Bland. I feel like you think you got a hell of a performance out of that. Now, 2023, that's looking like it could end up being pretty weak, especially if Overshown doesn't come through. So I do think that you have some drafting issues, but I would have to do a study on all NFL teams to determine like what their ratio is comparatively to that.
Okay. This draft, you have a chance to make it good.
And that's
but you're going to miss on some of them too.
And that's also the thing that's tough is once again, you go into a draft thinking we better hit or else our defense is going to suck again. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we are going to be live at the Dallas Card Show tomorrow. So let's bring back Kate Wardlow from the Dallas Card Show next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to have Kate up from the Dallas Card Show in just a minute, but I'm hoping.
I thought you said Kate up, and I was like, is that what you...
Kate...
Is it Kate Upton for sure?
No, like up to the 16th floor. But I was hoping I could tell you guys, and I'm not kidding about this, a serious heartwarming story real quick. Do you know who Colin Dorgan is?
No.
So...
Actually, I do, but no.
Colin Dorgan is... Well, he's one of the survivors of the Rhode Island hockey rink shooting last month. It was his dad, Robert Dorgan, who shot Colin's brother, mother, and grandfather. They were all killed. Mm. All right. So, I mean, obviously this story made a lot of headlines a month ago, but I mean, and it's unfortunate that like that level of tragedy has to occur, of course. Yesterday, so Colin Dorgan, he's still in school. He's a senior in high school.
Oh,
His brother is dead. His mom is dead. His grandfather is dead because of a shooting at a hockey game. And he scored yesterday on a breakaway in double overtime to give his team, Blackstone Valley, a 3-2 win over Portsmouth in the playoffs. That pushes them into the Rhode Island Division II hockey final. And Colin Dorgan said afterwards, this is the greatest moment of my life.
Wow.
And then the coach, he was like, look, I was with Colin every single day and his sister, all of us as a group. We were together for 14 straight days. And he was like, look, when it happened, and his coach was like, I could see it because it was a breakaway.
You could
could see the play develop.
There might be nothing more special than knowing what's about to happen.
You could see the play develop, and he said, the floodgates open. And I just cried like a baby. And I realized that that doesn't fix anything or change anything, but we talk about this all the time. If you can get just a few hours, like a day or a week, to forget about just something or put it to the back of your mind for just a minute, a horrific thing that happened. And Colin Dorgan got that opportunity. His team moves on in the playoffs, and you just saw people going crazy. You saw people crying. It was a whole thing. And those are the kind of cool stories you don't get an opportunity to talk about a whole lot.
You know, I appreciate when you bring something like that to the table, Kevin, because you're right. We don't have those moments enough, especially when we have all this other chaos that we got to deal with. So thanks for bringing that one to the table. And you know what? It wouldn't have happened if Kate wasn't late.
Man, yes, that's
probably one of my favorite parts about
that
this.
That is a great point. So right now, we welcome in from the Dallas Card Show and of perpetual tardiness, it is Kate Wardlow, and I'll tell you a story about the disrepair our studio is in a little bit later. But first things first, are you chewing gum, and why were you late again?
You guys, no gum in my mouth this time. However, I did ask like 5 different people to make sure they couldn't hear my smacking because I was paranoid. We had a little bit of a key mishap, but we're all good. We're all sorted.
That's what happened last time.
Horrible. Yeah, you know what? But I'm happy to be here, you guys. It's the first day of Dallas Card Show. Thursday. It's a good day. The sun is shining.
Hey, I would just like to thank you for being here. I know
thank
my
you.
Co-host is always
yes.
very critical and everything, but it's just wonderful to have you.
Kate
here.
And I know each other outside of this.
Yeah,
in
Kevin.
Case people think I'm just a giant D-hole
for
all
man.
This.
Kevin and I go way back.
Yeah, you might be right about that. Okay, but what kind of feedback did you get from the last time you were on, especially with the gum thing? Because I'll tell you, that turned on me. Because a lot of people were like, how dare you?
I appreciate that the people were in my corner.
They were.
I appreciate that. I feel vindicated.
I saw you the next day at the card show.
I know.
People were still talking about it.
I didn't hear a ton. They just said you weren't smacking. So I was like, that's all that matters.
Okay. Good, good, good. All right. What have you brought us today? And you said today is the start of the Dallas Card Show. We will be out there tomorrow. For people who don't know, what happens Thursday at the Dallas Card Show?
So Thursday we open for a vendor check-in at 2, but then the doors open for all access at 4, and then 6 o'clock is VIP. And then it goes till 9, so it's a good time to get in early, see the vendors who have set up. Usually the biggest money moves happen on Thursday.
A lot of people I know call it dealer day, too,
yes.
because a lot of that stuff
yes.
goes down.
Like they're ready to throw down some cash. So it's kind of an exciting day to be in there and to see what's going on. It's usually a lot more chill, which is nice. If you're like the crowded vibe is not your thing,
right?
Then just head over there on Thursday.
Was the last show in January? It feels like it was maybe the most attended show ever.
I think we broke some records. I don't have any numbers for you, but we definitely broke some records. It was insane. It was shoulder to shoulder pretty much all day Saturday.
Do we not have turnstile like clickers and things like that to count? We need to start counting.
Yeah.
You want to stand there at the door and count those people?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Oh, yeah. No, I think this is a great idea, though, Kevin.
I also want you to, like, stop people who don't have a wristband.
Yeah.
Stand on the chair and just holler.
Here's the deal, though, because the turnstiles, like, that. My first thought was Six Flags. Whenever we were kids, we always thought it'd be funny to cheat the system and go, like, not turn the turnstile.
Right.
So you're not going to get real numbers. And
okay.
that's what you're really, that's the only reason you're investing in the turnstiles.
I mean, we can look at ticket sales. You know what? We could probably look at ticket sales.
That's probably a better approach.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, that might be a little more simple.
Do you think it's a coincidence that you guys hit your all-time record for attendance the same show where we brought our show back out there.
It definitely had something to do with it.
Thank
you. I think
you
guys definitely brought that
record. It's the passion for the hobby, if you will.
Passion for the hobby, the fans.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. What are you looking forward to at this show? I know we've got some Cowboys legends autographing. Yep. Drew Pearson, Hollywood Henderson, Too Tall. Rocket Ishmael is always there.
He is the best time, though.
He
he's
is
so
the
cool.
nicest guy.
Yeah. He's super fun.
Is there anything else that you feel like will be particularly unique or that you're looking forward to at this show? Because I know you've gotten into collecting as well.
I have. You know, I dabble now. We have a high-end trade night on Friday, so it's kind of exclusive. But the main trade night on Saturday is just always the best time. There's just
and
so
it goes
many
until
it goes
so
until
long.
2 a.m. I don't think I've ever stayed the whole time because I'm like, people could just keep going on and on. But it's just, it's so good. Anybody can come. You can bring your cards. You can set up on any flat surface, and you can just deal all night long.
Yes. We would like people to buy tables, but let's be honest. We've both seen this. People set up their little pop-up shops wherever they want in
yes.
Marriott, it
yes.
appears.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It does appear that. That is frowned upon, but however, some people do it. But, I mean, we have a ton of tables, but it's in high demand. Tables
okay.
High demand, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always wonder, and can y'all help me out with this? I'll walk by, and I'll see, like, a 12-year-old kid with his stack.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there, and he's dealing with some, like, 40-year-old dude.
Yeah.
Is that kid hustling that guy? You know, is that, like,
I know, I wonder.
I always feel like that kid's got a better edge than the adult. I don't know why.
It's like selling, like, the Girl Scout cookies. Like, of course you're going to get, you know, sold on the Girl Scout cookies. It's like the little cute girl shows up at your door. You're like, you're not going to say no.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And you think like, oh, man, I'm working this kid over. You know, I know exactly what I'm doing. He's sitting there going, I've been playing this game longer than you, you know.
These kids have insane cards, too.
Yeah, don't
thousands
be
of dollars of cards. Yeah. So no one's under any disillusion. They know what's going on.
Don't be fooled by their adorableness, Corey.
That's the reason, like, that's the adrenaline. Every one of the guys that I talk to, they show up. They love that part. They love the bartering. They love the back and forth of it. And it's part of the community. It's fun.
Don't be fooled by the case either. There's people in there with the nice professional cases, but you'll see people with backpacks just drop these insane cards that you're holy
sleeper,
moly.
The sleepers.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. People ask us this all the time because I know obviously we talk a lot about sports cards and everything, but the Pokemon factor there is really high, is it not?
It's coming up. At the Dallas Card Show specifically, like we probably have a 40-60 split. So 60% sports cards, so we still have a strong sports card present. There's tons of really high-end cards. But the Pokemon has made its way up. I mean, after like we had the Illustrator at the last Dallas Card Show. They brought like the Beckett 9 Pikachu Illustrator, which was insane. And then, of course, like tons of vendors are bringing Pokemon. We even have like Marvel, Yu-Gi-Oh, One Piece. I mean, lots of TCG.
One Piece is taken off.
One Piece is probably the next one.
Is that all the animated stuff? Is there any live action One Piece cards that exist yet? Because I know that's starting to grow a little bit right now, too.
There are plenty of One Piece cards.
Okay,
out there,
all right.
For sure.
In fact, because my kid's interested in that, too, so I'm going to be looking around a lot.
And I don't know if he'll be there this time, but I think it's Tone Rodriguez has been out at y'all's so many times in the past. He's the guy who, if you've ever seen the Office episode where Pam makes a comic book for Jim as the Christmas present that moves his heart, he made that. And he's also an artist for Futurama and everything.
Yeah.
He's been out there a ton. So you guys have a great, I feel like, balance of
we
stuff
do. And then
there.
We have Brian Massey, who he's like an anime TCG narrator for some of the actual shows. So he's coming out, I believe it's Friday and Saturday. I'll have to double check. But so yes, we had some cool voice actors last time. So just if you're into that anime, like One Piece, Pokemon, we have a lot of those voices behind the characters, which is really cool. So you can kind of meet them and put like a name to the face. I mean,
do you feel like Pokemon is the better way to say it than Pokemon?
Pokemon. You got to say the E. Pokemon?
Pokemon.
Pokemon?
I'm asking.
I feel like Pokemon is probably the amateur way to say it. Pokemon sounds like intelligent.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Pokemon.
It's a good question here, Kevin, from the 817. Is there a Troy Hughes One Piece card? Our old
that
producer
is a
for
good
the morning
question.
Show was one of the voices on One Piece.
I don't know. And this is an example we still get from the 817. I did not notice the gum last time until Kevin cruelly
Same.
Berated her for
yeah.
it. You
yeah.
feel like I berated you?
Kevin is so, so cruel. Raked over the coals, actually. I would just, yeah.
Completely soaked pillow that she cried into later because
of
the abuse.
There is no way.
And I get it. I have to deal with him every day. So every
day,
same pillow.
Sincerely.
You know, yeah.
Don't be fooled by the innocent way she's talking right now. She is cutthroat as it gets, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna go, okay, see, there's another person in here that's like, oh, I agree with that. I definitely
no, guys,
agree.
No, don't believe everything you hear on radio.
All right, so we get asked these questions all of the time. And I know just a couple miles away from the shop, Sports Collectors Hub in Allen, you can always visit that if it's not time for the Dallas Card Show. People who are like, who do I trust? Where can I find out prices? What about my collection? Do you feel like the show can be a one-stop shop for a lot of those people?
The show is a great place, especially like people will bring in their 80s and 90s, or they'll bring in something niche that we don't necessarily like to buy. We always recommend go to a show because there's so many vendors. There's over 700 vendors who can give you a different opinion. So if we aren't willing to buy them for the shop, we have like the perfect place for you to go and shop around. And you can find someone because there's something for everybody. One man's trash is another man's treasure, so you'll definitely find someone at the show who wants whatever you have. It's just sometimes it's a little more niche.
Maybe not 91 Donruss.
Yeah, I was like, maybe okay. I was like, 80s and 90s might.
Yeah. Some of your cards, unfortunately, you could just throw in the actual trash. How often, because I know obviously you're always doing video content and stuff like that. Are you there in the shop when you have to see people's heart get broken?
It is really sad. They're like, oh, my uncle just passed away and he had these sports cards from a long time ago, and they bring them in and it's just like the most busted box of 80s and 90s. And they're like, oh, I just wanted to see what this would be worth. He's been just saving this for me. And I'm like, who's going to tell him? Who's going to tell him first?
Yeah. I had to tell Corey that many years ago.
And that's when I think the best approach, instead of telling him, is just to stand up, walk over to the trash can, and just throw them in there.
Dramatic mic drop.
And then look at them, and they'll get it. You don't even have to say anything.
You don't
even
have to say anything. You don't have to be the bad guy. You just actions speak louder than words.
Exactly.
Man, do you feel like that could cause an issue if you just took that person's cards and just put them in the trash, and you're like, that's what it's worth?
No, you don't even have to say that. They get it, Kevin. Like, they understand.
This is tough love. I think there's cruelty on both sides.
Now, what's going to happen here...
I told you she can be tough.
The hope here is that you do that enough times... My collection of late 80s and 90s
becomes rare. This is this is his strategy.
This is the plan here.
He's like,
you got a lot
population.
Of work to do, man. You're going to have to scour the globe to get rid of some of some of those cards. All right. So, Tom, it starts today. We will be there tomorrow at the Marriott in Allen, 777 Waters Creek Boulevard. There are all kinds of places to park as well. Any suggestions for parking?
So, parking's tricky because the hotel parking lot sometimes fills up and then they'll... So that's tricky. Across the road, you can also park at Waters Creek and just walk across. That crosswalk is pretty easy to use. There's signs and everything.
And you'll know you're almost there because you'll see people.
Yes, like, with the cases.
Kind of descending. Upon
Saturday was kind of eerie. Yeah,
yes,
it was crazy.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to do the show outside because it's just too nice of a day. So I got to tell Ross about that tomorrow whenever I get there.
No,
I'm going to be just outside.
It's going to work out.
We'll just run a cable
way
out there. It'll be all right.
Hope. All right. Well,
you should try it.
Yeah.
Get a few honks on the way around, you know?
Yeah. Sure. Honk if you're if you want cards.
No.
But where are you going to
we'll
say?
Come up with something.
That tagline needs some work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like you can come up with something catchier.
You're the guy that does all the words.
He changed what he was going to say.
I know, I figured. Yeah, I was like, I think there was some editing going on.
All right, well, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe you can jump on tomorrow as well.
That'd be fun.
We were way nicer this time, right?
I appreciate it, Kevin. Kevin feels like he has to make up. He's going to lose some audience if he keeps bullying.
That is from the 3-2-1. Kevin GD'd her the same way he would GD Mike Bassett.
No,
that's
not true. Not true.
We're going to get a phone call after the show today.
That is not true either. That doesn't happen. All right. We'll have some video content up probably today, but also from the Dallas Card Show tomorrow. Everybody come and see us in the Marriott 777 Waters Creek Boulevard. I learned that last time in Allen. Thank you very much. Now, next time
I'm gonna be on time, so we fix the gum problem.
That's
this
what
time
you said last time.
I don't think so. I think I said I wouldn't chew gum, so we're gonna have micro improvements.
Okay.
I like to set little achievable goals.
Do you think being on time is a small goal?
Yes. Micro, you know?
Interesting.
It's not lofty, that's for sure.
Did the world stop spinning because I wasn't here?
Wow! I told you she's ruthless. We're the KNC Matt. By the way, DallasCardShow.com has all the information that you need. And the shop, Sports Collectors Hub, in Allen. Again, seriously, it's like 2 miles away.
604 North Central Expressway.
Look at that.
Allen, Texas.
She's a pro. Coming up next, it's time for some baseball nuggets. Have you been hooked by the World Baseball Classic? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
That one, I'm not sure if he got it all. Let's see. It's deep. It is gone. He's hit three.
Then he's going to have so much espresso in him, he may not go to sleep tonight. This will be his third shot of espresso.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And it's time right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, for some baseball nuggets. Also, we just did some extra content for Dallas Card Show. Check out their socials. And again, we'll be there tomorrow in Allen, 777 Waters Creek Boulevard at the Marriott.
Your nose all right?
Yeah. It just itched.
All right.
But yeah, check out that video. I feel like there's some fun stuff in there. All right. So Alec played the clip. Thank you very much, Alec, for that. Vinny Pasquantino had not one, not two, but three home runs for Team Italy. Couple of things. He was 0 for 12 in the World Baseball Classic going into yesterday's game. He had the first ever three home run game in the World Baseball Classic. And this is the first time, per Vinny himself, he has ever hit three home runs in any game of his life.
What? Oh, really?
That's what he said.
Okay, well, that's good. You know, that's cool. That's a really great opportunity.
Would you do this, Corey? The Hall of Fame asked for his bat, and he said, can you hold on a few days?
Oh, yeah. I want to finish using it.
I'm with you.
You know, remember Corey Seager's bat? He used that sucker that whole season, and then I think like it broke late in the World Series, maybe. It may have been something weird in the ALCS. I can't remember exactly. But he had that black bat with the ring on it, and we were asking Bo, we were like, hey, how much pine tar is on that thing? And he's like, it's a 32-ounce. It's got to be 38 right now, just
right.
Pine tar alone.
Right, right.
And like that was, so yes, it is your lucky bat. It is, what did Homer call his bat, Kevin?
Wonder bat.
It is wonder bat. You don't, if your bat is good, you don't let it go. Now, here's what I want to say about this. The first one shouldn't have been a home run.
Oh.
First one, the right fielder.
It's the first one of his career. You're taking it away from him?
The right fielder should have caught it. It was he, you know how you take shots at Evan Carter for jumping too soon?
For the record, though, we went over that with him. He goes, I didn't need to jump.
This guy jumped wrong. Like, he just, his glove missed it. He should have caught it. It was a ridiculous, it was up in the air forever. It should have been caught. The second one was a no-doubter. Like, it went over the foul pole.
That was the best one.
That's a glorious moonshot home run. And then the third one was, like, he forced that one out.
Right.
You know, the second one was perfect swing. Everything went right. The third one was, I'm making sure this one gets out. But that first, it should be two. I'll give him credit for three, though. But it should still be two because that first one should have been caught.
It does feel like it would be harsh if you took away his first ever three home run game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk some more about Team Italy, though, because they had to call up another catcher to replace Kyle Teal. You remember Kyle Teal the day before, one of the people who hit a home run against Team USA. And most importantly, out of all of that, with the victory, Italy won 9-1. The United States advances into the quarterfinals of the World Baseball Classic. And believe it or not, they are once again the favorites to win the World Baseball Classic. Even though going into last night, they did not control their own destiny, they are now the favorites ahead of the Dominican Republic, which has leapfrogged Japan for second place. Dominican Republic has been really good. We'll get to that in just a second. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is, do you feel like the World Baseball Classic has hooked you in, has hooked the people in? Because that USA-Mexico game drew 5 million viewers. That's an increase of 215% from that game in the last World Baseball Classic.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, that's a no. Yes.
I saw somebody post this the other day, and it really, like, I can appreciate both without having to shut down one.
Okay.
When Roman Anthony hit his home run the other day, somebody posted, and they're like, look at this. He just puts his bat down, runs to first base, doesn't dance all the way. And it was very, act like you've done this before kind of post. And again, growing up, I was like, hey, man, like that's how I would probably do it.
Yeah.
And now I watch these other cultures and other countries and the way they celebrate the game. I'm like, that's how they do it. That's fun. Why do I have to diss on it? Why do I have to S all over it just because it's not the way that I would do it? And I think that, like, you can look at this game and how awesome it can be and the excitement that comes with it, and you can respect all of it.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's part of it. But I understand, too.
There was an epic bat flip yesterday.
Oh, Fernando Tatis's moment yesterday was phenomenal. And for me, Kevin, that's sucking me in more with this. That's hooking me even more and pulling me to the game more because not just theirs, the differences of all the countries. I love that because I don't know why they celebrate it the way they do. They do it because it's supposed to be fun. We do it because it's business. We're here to win.
Especially in a high-stakes scenario like that. I get it if somebody's bent out of shape in the second inning of a May game.
Yeah.
But, like, this means so much for some of these players. I like it.
So 877-881-1053, can you respect pimping home runs and not pimping home runs? Or, and how would
question.
You do it? Would you be like, you know what? I'm taking the longest home run trot. I'm making sure that I'm letting all my teammates in on this thing before I get to first base.
Now, since we were talking about the Dominican Republic, Fernando Tatis Jr., 6 hits so far in the World Baseball Classic, 2 home runs, 9 RBIs, 5 walks, 6 hits and 5 walks. He's been incredible thus far. And so now the stage is set for the quarterfinals, which will include Canada. They defeated Cuba 7-2. They're in the World Baseball Classic quarterfinals for the first time ever.
Should we start getting concerned about Canada? You know how now we've taken over their sport.
Right.
Are they trying to take over our sport? Because Toronto was in the World Series last year.
That would suck.
Toronto has more World Series championships than the Rangers, don't they?
That is true. And Canada's a 25-1 right now to win. They have the second longest odds to win the World Baseball Classic to South Korea. But I am concerned. So the matchups go like this. On Saturday, you get Japan and Venezuela, Italy and Puerto Rico, because Italy won their pool. And then tomorrow, you've got Korea against the Dominican Republic, and at 7 o'clock, the United States against Canada. And so, kind of based on that question, do you feel like America is going to be tuned into this game? I know Friday night can be tough, but it's U.S. against Canada. I am, too.
I already told Adrian, I was like, just be prepared. We are spending our evening watching this game. So, yeah, I'm already locked in on it because America has some amazing players.
They do.
Like, this is one of those things, too, where you're like, hey, somebody says, hey, don't do pimping in high school and Little League. Pros in college, maybe
okay.
That's okay. I can appreciate that. Have some fun with it if you're a kid in a big moment. Home runs should be fun. But, yeah, Kevin, I've already told her I want to watch some of the best players all on the same team at the same time. This is fun, and it's exciting. And I just want to see how Paul Skeens looks at Bobby Witt Jr., you know? Even if he's not pitching, I just want to see if he's just like, I'm still just in awe of this guy.
But, I mean, to your point, it does feel like it would be a cruel twist of fate if we took hockey away from the Canadians with back-to-back gold medals in the span of like 48 hours.
It'll never happen.
And they responded by defeating us in the World Baseball Classic.
Good luck, Canada.
That would definitely kind of bum me out.
Come at us, bro.
Okay, the winners advance to the semifinals in Miami. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I want to change something if that's okay with you. The Athletic has put together a formula for the franchise rankings of the past 25 years. Think about the last 25 years of baseball. Where would you put the Rangers in that group of 30 for the past 25 years?
Number one.
Okay, we'll see if that is where they got ranked. Next, right here on The Fan.